Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Thursday night shiur for Parshas B'Shalach. I entitled the shiur, "One who starts to do a mitzvah should finish it." And the official rabbinic expression that we find in a few places, we'll see towards the end, is "Hamaschil b'mitzvah omer lo gemor." When somebody begins to do a mitzvah, we tell them, "You finish it, right? You started the mitzvah, you should finish it." What I'd like to look at tonight is, where does that come from, and is there really such a concept in halacha that a person should endeavor? Of course, a person should endeavor to do as many mitzvahs as he can, do as many mitzvahs in the fullest fashion that he can. But is there such a concept that we try and have the same person who started to do the mitzvah finish it? And what difference does that make? And so on, where does that concept come from? So if we take a look at the first of the sources, here in Parshas B'Shalach, we find that as B'nai Yisrael leaving Mitzrayim, so Perek Gimel Pasuk Yates, Vayikach Moshe Atzmos Yosef Imo. Moshe made sure to take the bones, the coffin, the remains of Yosef with him. Yosef, of course, had died quite a number of years earlier. Ki Ashbeya Hishbias B'nai Yisrael Emor Pakod Yivkodol Kimeschem Valisem Es Atzmosai Mizeitchem. Because years earlier, before he died, Yosef had imposed an oath upon the members of his family that when the day will come that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take you out of Egypt, bring my bones, my remains out with you and bring them to Eretz Yisrael. Rashi comments in Perek Gimel Pasuk Yud Tes here in source number two, Hashbeah Hishbia, Hishbiyim Sheyashbiu Livneihem. The double language, Hashbeah Hishbia. After all, Yosef imposed this oath upon the people who were there at that time when he died. Obviously, none of those people were still alive, or as far as we understand, none of those people were still alive now, all the years later when they come out of Mitzrayim. But he, Hashbeah, Hishbiah, double language, he imposed the oath and he told them, you impose the oath on your children, your grandchildren, etc. Why didn't Yosef decide to have his children bury him right in Eretz Yisrael right away, the way Yaakov did, right? Yaakov died in Mitzrayim also, but Yaakov had made it clear that he was to be buried immediately in Eretz Yisrael, not wait till they come out from Mitzrayim years later. How come Yosef didn't do the same? So Rashi says, I'm Yosef, Ani Shalit Ha'is to Mitzrayim, I see people Yadil La'asos at the time when my father died, so I was in charge, so I could make the arrangements that were necessary. But now, the Mitzrayim may not allow it, and so on. Therefore, he's a Jew is no longer in charge as Yosef dies. So he imposed the oath upon his children, and then the children's children, etc. Okay, where do we see that Yosef ever imposed such an oath? So that's in Parshas Vayechi, source number three, Bereishis Parak Nun, Pasuk Chavdala. Bayomer Yosef al Chava Nochi Meis. I'm going to die soon. Velokim pakod yivkod eschem v'hel eschem in haaretz azos el haaretz asher nishba l'Avraham l'Yitzchak l'Yaakov. Eventually, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take you out of this place, out of Egypt, and bring you back to the promised land, and so on. And Pasuk Chaf Hei, the very end of Parshas Vayechi, Vayash by Yosef is b'nei Yisrael l'Emor, pakod yivkod elokim eschem v'al eschem es, that's what Simon said, exactly the words in our Parsha as well. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will eventually remember you and will take you out of Mitzrayim, so bring my remains back with you. Okay. Now, the Gemara in Sota, Daf Yud Gimel Aleph, mentions the following. Four, Tanu Rabbanan. Bo re kama chavivos mitzvah al Moshe Rabbeinu. Let's say how, take a look at how beloved the opportunity to do mitzvahs was for Moshe Rabbeinu. Shekol Yisrael, what were the rest of the Jews doing at that time? This is the night of Yetzias Mitzrayim. What was everybody else doing? Shekol Yisrael, kula nitzasku bebiza. They were all despoiling Egypt. Remember, we learned when they came out of Mitzrayim, we read last week, said it too, they took all the property, certain things that they got from the Egyptians. They were all busy enriching themselves. Shenema Abahu Nisasek B'mitzvahs. When Moshe understood he's got a mitzvah to take care of. Shenemar, again, Chacham Lev Yikach Mitzvahs. That's a Pasuk in Mishlei, Source 6, Parak Yud, Pasuk Ches. Chacham Lev Yikach Mitzvahs. Wise, a person with a wise heart will pursue as many mitzvahs as possible. And then the Medrash, the Gemara in Sota, Gimel and Aleph goes on. Source 4, Minayin HaYodea Moshe Rabbeinu Heichal Yosef Kover. How did Moshe know where to find, how did he know where Yosef was buried, where to find Yosef's remains? So Amru, Serach Bas Osher Nishtaru Meos Ador. There was actually one person who was still alive from that time, the daughter of Osher, Serach Bas Osher. She, according to Chazal, lived for many centuries. So she was still alive. So Halach Moshe Etzla, Moshe found her and asked her, where was Yosef buried? They put it in the coffin, in a metal coffin, in a river. The Gemara tells the whole story. And Moshe went and he yelled in the last couple of lines of four. This is Sotah Yud-Gimel Aleph. Amalo Yosef, Yosef, Higia Eish Nishba, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shenikvah Eschem. The time has come that HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised he's going to redeem the Jewish people. And therefore, if you want to show yourself now, so to speak, fine. If not, what can I do? We have to go, and we're not going to be able to fulfill the oath that we promised you. And miyad saf aron shel Yosef, and somehow Yosef's aron floated up to the top of the river, and Moshe took it. Okay, now, so all the rest of the Bnei Yisrael, source 5, Rashi, Sotim, Gimel, Aleph, 5, Nis'asku b'biza shel Mitzrayim, they were busy with the spoils. Moshe Rabbeinu, didn't Moshe Rabbeinu pursue to find, or look to find where the bones of Yosef were buried, and Sarach was Asher told him, he explained why, that's the next Rashi, why he was buried in the water, creation is Baruch HaMemov, okay, we don't need all the details, okay? What's interesting is that at the very end of the book of Yehoshua, source number 7, Perek Chof Dalad, Pasuk Lamed Beis in Yehoshua, after the conquest of the land, the very end of the book of Yehoshua, it says, V'atzmos Yosef, Asher Helu B'nei Yisrael Mitzrayim, the bones of Yosef, which they had brought out of Mitzrayim, Kavru B'Shechem, they buried in Shechem, that area, which was part of the territory of the descendants of Yosef, Shechem, that's where Bnei Yisrael buried the bones of Yosef. What's interesting is, Radak points this out in his commentary on that Pasuk in Yoshua, Perak of Dal, Pasuk on the base, source number 8. Radak is bothered. It says in the Pasuk, look carefully at the Pasuk in 7, Yoshua, that Pasuk, Perak of Dal, Pasuk on the base, there's Atzmos Yosef, Asher Helu Bnei Yisrael in Mitzrayim, which the Bnei Yisrael took out of Mitzrayim. We just got through reading that the rest of Bnei Yisrael were not involved. Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who took the bones out of Mitzrayim, not the Bnei Yisrael. The rest of Bnei Yisrael were busy with the biza, with the spoils. I would have to make a point of saying that they didn't get involved. The Moshe, Chacham, Lady Kachman says, Moshe got involved. So why does the Pasuk in Yoshua attribute the bringing of the remains of Yosef out to Bnei Yisrael? So the Radak says, there in source number 8, Afal Pisha Kosovayal Moshe Atzmos Yosef Imo, right? Who is here as Bnei Yisrael Halos? Doesn't mean that Moshe himself necessarily took the bones out, but rather he supervised it, right? He said, we have to do this. And we have other psukim, it says, regarding the Beis HaMikdash, even Shlomo, right? He built it himself. Doesn't mean he built the Beis HaMikdash himself. He had people, he supervised it and so on. However, Radak then goes on and says, Uvidrash, kolam maschil b'mitzvah. Anybody who starts a mitzvah, be'acher gomra, but somebody else completes it, nikreis al shem ha'achron. It's the later person who gets the credit. Okay, umiyat talomid, where we learn this? From Moshe Rabbeinu. Tichsir v'yal Moshe, atzvon se'osei v'imo. But Nistalik Moshe Midvalo Nichlas La'aretz. Moshe Rabbeinu did indeed take the remains of Yosef out with him, but he never made it into Eretz Yisrael, right? He died before they got there. And therefore, V'hichnisi Yisrael Atzmosam. The rest of the people picked up, right, and took Yosef's remains into Eretz Yisrael, but cover all some and buried them there. The Nisleis HaMitzvah Behem, so they're given credit for the mitzvah, and that's why the Pasuk says here in Yoshua, Asher Helu B'nei Yisrael Mitzrayim. Asher Helu Moshe Enksiv Kan El Asher Helu, the B'nei Yisrael did it. So you see that when someone starts to do a mitzvah but doesn't complete it, someone else finishes the mitzvah, it's the person who completes the mitzvah that, so to speak, is credited. Not that we ignore the act of the original person, but he's not given the credit for the mitzvah. Mitzvah is David Daniel, Shua Parak Abdal, Pazalam Bey, says the same thing in 9. Afki Moshe Helam Mitzvahim, Avalafisha Meis Bamidbar, below his speak, Haviyam Lashchem, even though Moshe Rabbeinu died and never got to bring the bones into Eretz Yisrael, and they brought him in, therefore they get the credit for it. Now, that's Sotu Yud Gimel Min Aleph. On Amud Beis, source number 10, Sotu Yud Gimel Min Beis, the Gemara, continuation of that sugya, goes on and says the following. Kashu Kroi Ahadodi. There seem to be two contradictory psukim. Our discussion over here, Dixiv. Vayikach Moshe Atzmos Yosef, our pasuk. He took Moshe took Yosef's bones. And the other pasuk, Sibos and Yeshua, that's Atzmos Yosef Yahob and Yisrael. So Amar Chamar Chanina, exactly what the Radak and the Mitzvah David quoted, this Gemara, that when somebody starts a mitzvah, but somebody else finishes it, it's the person who completes the mitzvah that gets, so to speak, the greater credit for it. Okay? Because originally it was just Moshe, as Rashi says in 11, so to Gemara Beis, says, Haksiv, Vayikach Moshe Velo Sha'aram, but yet they're given the credit for it. Now it's interesting, the Maharsha, over there in the Chiddush HaGodos and Sotu Gimel Beis, Divam Aschal Yaakov Vayikach Moshe 12, writes, Ritzon Olam Vayikach Moshe Atzmos Yosef Imo, the Mashma, the Kol Aliyah Moshe Yosef, the Kol Osem Mem Shonim. Sounds like Moshe was busy with the whole 40 years, was busy with the bones of Yosef until he died, okay? And yet, even so, was not given to him, but to Bnei Yisrael. And it's interesting because at the beginning, the Pasuk is praising Moshe. Everyone else was busy with the biza, right, with the spoils. And now, Moshe went to get the Aron of Yosef, all right? But the truth of the matter is, they would have volunteered. It was a little strange. Now, that may have been that very first night, right? They were busy with the biza. But what about the rest of the 40 years? When does the marshal, what, only Moshe took care of the bones of Yosef? Maybe it was just, okay, the first night. The Bnei Yisrael were busy with the biza. Moshe went for the bones of Yosef. But then the rest of the 40 years in the Midbar, surely somebody else was involved. So the Marsha points out, no, actually not, because really for the honor of Yosef, the bones, the remains of Yosef, the coffin of Yosef, stayed with, the territory of Moshe Rabbeinu, by the tent of Moshe Rabbeinu and so on. Okay, and then later on, when they buried him, they get credit really only for burying him, but they get credit for the whole mitzvah because they completed it, even though really Moshe was involved the whole 40 years. That's a Gemara later in Sota, Chof Mubeis 13. Gemara says, Otanya, Tmei Mei, Smuta Likonis Lamachan Alaviya. In the Midbar, there were three camps, so to speak. Okay, the three, there was where the Mishkan was, and then the Leviim were around that, and the Bnei Yisrael were around that, and so on. There are different laws in parallel in Yerushalayim, when they have the Beis HaMikdash, Yerushalayim, and so on. Different territories where different people can or cannot come in depending on the laws of Tumah. So the rule is, says the Gemara, without all the details, now Tmei Meis, somebody who came into contact with the deceased, can go into what's called Machana Leviya, the camp of the Leviim. Below Tmei Meis, Bavaram, well, Afilo Meis Atzmo, even a corpse. How do we know? Moshe kept the remains of Yosef in his camp, in his area where he lived, by his tent, which is in the Machane Leviya. So you see from there that the someone who's Tmei Meis, or even the Meis itself, can come into the Machane Leviya. Again, I'm not so interested in the details of Tumah right now, but and Rashi points out the parallel in the Beis HaMikdash, not with the Midbar, but the Beis HaMikdash, Sota Chof Mubeis Rashi, Divamas Machane Leviya, Behar HaBayis. Okay, the Har HaBayis is parallel to the Machane Leviya. There's the Azorah, the main part of the Beis HaMikdash, then there's a whole Har HaBayis, then there's Yerushalayim. That's parallel. Anyway, that's the point that Rashi makes. And Imo B'Mechitzos, Rashi says, explains, again, the three different camps, like I just explained. So you see that Moshe Rabbeinu took care of the bones of Yosef the whole time, not just that first night when he took him out, but the whole 40 years. Okay, now, why is it that, here the Moshe took care of him 40 years, and then the rest of Bnei Yisrael just did the last piece? So the Maharal, in his Chiddush HaGadol there in Sota Yigimon Beis 15, Maharal says, Kilo Aso, Ki HaKol Holech Achar HaShlomo. Everything goes on how it ends, that's how it's sealed. Okay, and that's why the bringing of the bones of Yosef is given, the credit is given to all of Bnei Yisrael, even though Moshe Rabbeinu did most of the work, that because the halah, the bringing of the bones, that was just a preparatory stage. The main thing, let's remember, what was the main purpose here? To transport his remains? No, the main purpose was to bury his remains in Eretz Yisrael. That was the purpose, okay? Transporting his coffin, that was just a means to an end. Transporting the coffin was just a preparatory stage. It took a long time because they were in the Midbar for so long, but transporting the remains was just a preparatory stage. The main thing was to bury. That was the main mitzvah, says the Maharal. So therefore, the beginning, okay, so that was just a stage one that Moshe did. But Kigmara Dover, Kamotzur, that's the whole thing is by when it ends, when you get to the main purpose. And Bnei Yisrael did that. They did the burial. That was the whole purpose. Therefore, they get the credit. Okay. Where else is there any other place we see? I mean, we have this medrash, this gemara that somebody who start, somebody starts a mitzvah, but somebody else finishes, the second person gets credit. So there's also a medrash elsewhere based on a pasuk elsewhere in the Torah. In Parashas Ekev, Parakas of Devarim, pasuk Aleph 16, the gemara says, the pasuk says, Kol ha-mitzvah she'anochi mitzav chayom tishmur la'asos v'matich un'arisim v'asim v'shtemes arz ha-shenish ba'ashem v'oseichem. Kol ha-mitzvah, all the mitzvahs which I commanded you. Rashi comments over there in 17, Ekev, Dvar and Perakas Pasuk Aleph 17. Kol ha-mitzvah kipshuto, that's a simple reading. But u'medrish agada, this pasuk means, im ischalto b'mitzvah gemor osa. This pasuk teaches, if you start a mitzvah, finish it. Because the mitzvah will always be credited to the person who completed it. Shenemar, again, the pasuk Yoshua by the Bnei Yisrael. Okay, how do we see that in this pasuk Kol HaMitzvah? So there, how does that pasuk teach this idea? So with Yosef, we understand how it teaches it, but how does this pasuk Kol HaMitzvah? Rashi says the pasuk says Kol HaMitzvah. All the mitzvahs I'm commanding you have to do. Nothing to do with our topic, but there's a Medrash Agoda that says if you start a mitzvah, finish it. How do you see that from this pasuk? So the Maharal in his Gur Aryeh, that's his commentary on Rashi, there in Parshas Ekev, Parakhas Pasuk Aleph 18, the Maharal Miprag writes, because it shouldn't have said, it should have said either kol ha-mitzvos and not kol ha-mitzvah. And if it meant all the mitzvahs, should say kol mitzvah, each and every mitzvah. So he has a grammatical point since it says kol ha-mitzvah from the word kol, like vayichulu, vayichal, to complete, right? Complete the mitzvah, so to speak. Okay, that's the drasha. Okay, and he has different ways of learning it grammatically, but that's what the pasuk means. And ha-tam, again, Maharal says again in 18, the second towards the end of 18. Matam, ki gemar ha-mitzah, mitzah nasis. K'mosh misha bana bayis, gemar binyan, az mikro bayis. Somebody builds a house. Right? When is it called a house? When it's completed. Right now, a lot of person may have laid the foundation, and may put some bricks down, but it's not a house until it's built. So therefore, it's not a mitzvah until it's done. Everything else is just a preparatory stage. And therefore, Olufi Zeh, he says an interesting halacha. Last line of that page, we'll go over to the next page. The Mara writes, Ein lios echad mal vasheni oseh priya. Okay? When it comes to circumcision of bris milah, there are two stages. There's the milah, which is the cutting of the foreskin, and then there's the priya, folding back the skin. There are two steps. It all happens very quickly, and unless we're mal, we're not watching that closely, but those are the two steps, the milah and the priya. Okay? So it says over here, the Maral says, you shouldn't have two different moels. One do the Mila and one do the Priya. Even though strictly speaking it would work, you shouldn't do it because the Ha'omelo Gemara HaMitzvah, let the Mo'el who started, who did the circumcision, finish it and do the Priya as well, because until the Priya is done, the Mitzvah is not complete. The Gemara says, Mo'el v'lo paraki lo Mo'el. You just did the actual cutting of the foreskin and didn't fold the skin back. The Mitzvah is not completed. Mo'el v'lo para, let me make a joke, para also means to pay somebody. Mo'el v'lo para, if you did the meal, you didn't pay the mola, then it's not good, right? It's no good. The meal is no good. But that's not what it means. Mola lopara means the priya, okay? Means the folding back of the skin. So it says, but then the Maharal says, maybe it's a little different, okay? Because even if you do the priya, there's an independent mitzvah. That's a whole discussion. Maybe part of the same mitzvah, not part of the same mitzvah. Anyway, here, so maybe that's not the same. The Maharal suggested maybe the same. Don't have two different molas. One do the meal, one do the priya. Because you let the person start the mitzvah finish. But then he says, maybe it's not the same because each one is a different mitzvah. Whereas over here, there was no mitzvah to bring Yosef's remains back from Mitzvah. The mitzvah was to bury him. Okay. The Medrash Tan, where is this Medrash Agoda? Rashi looked back in the Parshat Ekev in 17. Medrash Agoda quotes his Medrash. Where is that Medrash? What Medrash says this rule? So it's a Medrash Tanchuma in Parshat Ekev Os Vav 19. And we learn from Yosef and so on. Okay, it tells the whole story with Yosef. So that's the mitzvah, that's the Medrash Agada, which Rashi was referring to. And therefore it says, Kol HaMitzvah, same idea. When somebody starts a mitzvah, he should finish it. Otherwise, the credit's going to go to somebody else. As a side point, there is some discussion in Halacha about this business with the Mila and the Priya, the Ramah. As a tshuva, source number 20, Shutar Amos Simon Ayin Vav. Okay, can you have two different molim, one to do the mila, one to the priya, on Shabbos? Shabbos, let's remember, is a different story because Shabbos, we of course do a bris mila if the eighth day is Shabbos, if it's a mila bismana, we do the mila on Shabbos also. But if the mila is incomplete, you're not allowed to draw blood, you're not allowed to make a chabura on Shabbos, and so on and so forth. So maybe, that's what Amos discusses, maybe on Shabbos is a special reason. That's just same mole should do the mila and the priya. Because if someone does the mila, that means, and someone else does the priya, and the mitzvah is credit to the person who completes it. The first guy didn't do the mitzvah. So all he did was drew blood, right? So that's a discussion in that Ramah. Okay. Quotes of Beis Yosef, he says, maybe, and even if you want to argue that it wouldn't be a, strictly speaking, a violation of Shabbos because he did something, he did half a mitzvah, maybe it's not right. Anyway, he says at the end that it's mutter to have two different people. Okay, okay, but he thinks it's better. Okay, certainly the second guy for sure can do it. Okay, anyway, that's some discussion in Poskim. The Lavush also there in Hilchos Mila, Yoredeis and Reish Tam above. So if Yodalad quotes the Beis Yosef, and he says the Beis Yosef felt, second line of 21, Yeshli Zor, Shaleomel Ushte Umnin Mila Achas Peshabbos Lechatchila. Chatchila, it's better not to have two different moles. Umnin means a craftsman, means the mole in this case. Okay, two different moles shouldn't do the bris on Shabbos. Okay, because perhaps it'll be a violation of Shabbos. And he says it was not a violation of Shabbos completely, but still not right, you know, because it's part of the mitzvah. Okay, anyway, so some discussion about that. You can read about it, okay, in the Levush over here. And he concludes also that it seems to be mutter. He writes, it's mutter. However, he says, where the Levush lived in the Ashkenazi countries, the Molin were not concerned about having two different Molin perform the bris. Okay, but there's some discussion about that. All right. Now, so therefore we have this notion that if a person does a mitzvah, starts a mitzvah, doesn't finish, someone else finishes it, that's the person that gets the credit for the mitzvah. Nonetheless, before we go on to that subject, there's an important side point, but we see a couple of interesting things. Even if a person knows that he'll not be able to complete the mitzvah, it doesn't absolve you from starting. You should still start. It's not zero. It's not zero credit. Okay, yes, Moshe Rabbeinu deserves credit, and he's highlighted in the Medrash. But when everyone else was busy with the Biza, he was willing to take the time out to find the remains of Yosef and to search for them and to get them and so on. It's not zero. Okay, ultimately, he didn't do the burial, but Israel did, so they're given credit. But it doesn't absolve, it doesn't mean that what you do is nothing. And that we learned from Moshe Rabbeinu also. Look in Parshas Leschanon, Baran Parak Dalad, starting in Pasuk Mem Aleph, Oz Yavdil Moshe Sholos Orem Evi Ardin Mitzvah Shemesh. Remember, Pasuk Mem Beis Mem, Lanus Shomer Otzeach Hashir Yitzach Zeh Bivu Das, if somebody kills somebody unknowingly, mistakenly, an accident, okay, you killed somebody. So you know, the person who kills has to go to what's called the Ir Miklat, right, the city of refuge. The person who killed, it wasn't on purpose, you didn't hate the person and so on, okay, but where were the Ir Miklat? So, let's remember the Jewish people inherited territory on the eastern side of the Jordan River as well. Two and a half tribes ended up living there, Reuven, Gad, and half the tribe of Menashe. And that Moshe did go. It wasn't Eretz Yisrael proper. It was the eastern bank of the Jordan River. Exactly what the borders are, not so clear. But there's some section, some part of the eastern side, which today Jordan, which today Syria, and so on, which was part of the territory of Reuven, Gad, and half the tribe of Menashe. So there Moshe was there. He wasn't never got into Eretz Yisrael proper. But he did get into that extended Eretz Yisrael, so to speak, greater Eretz Yisrael. And he set aside three cities of refuge. And the Pasuk names them, Mem Gimel, it's Betzer, Bamidbar, Beretz HaMishal, Ruveni, it's Ramos, Begila, the Gadi, it's Gaon, Babosel. I mean, actually, he tells you the city, one for each of those tribes. Okay, now, Halacha is, won't go into the details now, Rashi and Chumash says it, okay, in Perek Dalet, Pasuk Mem, Aleph of 23, that these cities would not work, would not function as Ari Miklat, until the conquest of the rest of Eretz Yisrael proper on the western bank and the other three cities were set up over there. Okay? In other words, what Moshe did, he designated three cities, but they didn't go into effect as Ari Miklat. That would not happen until later. That's what Rashi says in 23. Yet, what did Moshe say? Look at the last part of 23. Mitzvah she'eshel akayma akaymena. Okay, it's true that I'm not going to go into Eretz Yisrael. I'm not going to see the other three cities set up. Hence, these three cities will also not serve as Ari Miklat. But you need to designate three cities. That's a mitzvah. Let me do it. Let me do it. And that's what the Gemara says in Makos Daf Yudam Alav 24. Darsh Rab Simoi, my dechsim oev kesef lo yispa kesef umahed behemon lo tvor. It's a pasuk in Koheles. Parakei pasuk test 25. Person who loves money will never be satisfied. Okay. Person who loves treasure will never have enough grain, right? People who want, that's all they think about, they'll never be satisfied. So what's an example of? Oh, if kesef, at least by kesef, the Gemara takes it out of the realm of money and talks about mitzvah. Zem Moshe Rabbeinu. Shehay Odea. She'ein shalosh orim she'beiv ha'yarden koltos ad shonivchor shalosh beretz Kanaan. Moshe knew full well that the three cities on the western, on the eastern bank of the Jordan River would not be koltos, would not, so to speak, accept or save someone killed by accident would not work as Ari Miklat until the other three in Eretz Yisrael set up. Still, Omar Mitzvah Shabbat Liyadi Akaymena. Let me do whatever I can do. It's not going to work yet, but it's something. So we see from there that Moshe Rabbeinu himself understood that even though it's not going to go into effect, he's not going to get full credit, the mitzvah won't be completed, but it doesn't absolve you from doing your part at the beginning. As a side point, I quoted in 26 the Klei Yoker over there in Veschana, Perek Dal, Pasuk Mem Aleph. And look back in these sources, look back at source 22. An unusual, or surprising source for this famous pasuk. The last pasuk, according to 22, was Chanan, Dorim Perak Dalad, pasuk Mem Dalad. Zos HaTorah, Asher Sam Moshe, Lifnei B'nei Yisrael. This is the Torah, right? Well, we say that when we lift the Torah, Bahagba, but there's a beautiful pasuk. This is the Torah which Moshe commanded the Bnei Yisrael. Now, if you ask me, or stop the average person and ask them, where in the Torah is that pasuk written? V'zos ha-Torah she'asa Moshe lefnei Bnei Yisrael. I would say that's probably right after the Aseres HaDibros, or right after Kriya Shema, or right after some mitzvah ha-chaver, v'havta recha kamocha, you know, some important mitzvahs. V'zos ha-Torah, this is the essence of the Torah. Instead, the pasuk appears right here at the end of this discussion of Moshe Rabbeinu setting aside three cities. Now, some say that it's really an introduction to the next pasukim, which talks about the mitzvahs in general, but the Klei Ochr says that we can learn from here is that this is a very important concept that Moshe Rabbeinu taught, that even if you're not going to ultimately get credit for the mitzvah, even if you're doing what you're doing is not going to be complete, okay, nonetheless, you do your part. Bizos HaTorah, that's what the Torah is really all about, okay? People should learn from Moshe that they should do all the mitzvahs they can possibly do. It doesn't matter whether you're going to get credit ultimately in the long run, you're not going to get credit in the long run. You do your best part. Similarly, the Gemara Makas Yudam and Aleph, 27, Gemara continues a little later. Omer Tanchum Bar Chanilah, Mema Zocha Ruvain, Limonas Batzola Tchila. How come Ruvain is mentioned first? Again, in that pasuk, there in Voschanan, it says, Es Betzer Bamidbar, Perek Dal, Pasuk Mem Gimel, Es Betzer Bamidbar, Be'eretz Hamishala Ruvaini. Why was Ruvain mentioned first? You know, with regard to saving somebody's life and being a city of refuge? Be'eshahu Pasuk Hatzola Tchila, Shenemar Ba'ishma Ruvain Ba'atzilem Yodam. Right? Rashi explained 28. Limanos patzolat chila she posach hakosuv bo bar miklat chila. Why they begin with Ari Miklat in Reuven's territory? Because Reuven was the one who stood up to save somebody's life. Who? Yosef. When they wanted, the brothers wanted to kill him. So they're in Parshat Vayeshev, Bereishis Paraklam and Zion 29. Right, the brothers saw Yosef coming. The dreamer is coming, and a posachov atol chuvan argeu. Let's kill him and throw him into one of these pits and say that a wild animal attacked him. And Chafala Vayishma Ruvain Vayatzilem Yadam Vayamalana Kalanofet. Ruvain heard and said, "Oh, no, I'm saved. No, let's not kill him." And Ruvain said, "Let's throw him into one of these pits over here." And you know, he had in mind to come back later. Now, 1 second, it didn't work. It didn't work. Okay, Ruvain, you know, wanted to save Yosef and bring him back to the father, but at the end, he wasn't able to do that. What do you see? The same idea. Okay, the same idea that. Even though Reuven's thing didn't work, but he tried, right? A person should do his best when he can, right? Do get some credit for something. And then finally, there's a Gemara of Avodah Avdalam and Aleph. The Gemara says, very strange pasuk, and a difficult pasuk to translate, a pasuk in Eov, Paraklamid pasuk Chavdal 30, Ach lo b'yishlach yad im befido lohen shua. Okay, difficult about this. Don't stretch your hand to me and so on. And the Gemara of Ozar Darshans in that pasuk. What does that pasuk mean? Dovar Acher 31. Afilu ein Yisrael osin mitzvah lefronai ki im ma'at. Okay, kefid shel tarnagolin sheminakrin ba'ash, like the beak or whatever it is called, the peck, when a chicken pecks or something very small, you still get lahen shua, salvation, even if the Bnei Yisrael do a little bit of a mitzvah. It'll be kipid shel tarnagol. That's a funny word in befido. That's Gemara's drasha. Just a little bit, they'll get some type of yeshua, some type of pidyon, some type of salvation. Okay. Sometimes the Rashi points out in Avodah Zarah Daam Aleph, the second Rashi in 32, it says sometimes we call pidyon haben was called yeshua haben. Pidyon means salvation, right? Redeeming. Okay. Anyway, the bottom line is you see from there too. You get some value, even if you're doing a little bit of a mitzvah. Okay. Now, of course, a person makes make every effort to do a mitzvah in its entirety. There's another Maharal, printed here in 33, in the Nesivas Olam, Nesiva Torah Perek Yud Ches, towards the end. The Maharal writes, really, a mitzvah brings a person to his completion. Shlemus, a person's wholeness, comes from doing mitzvahs, and it does it besimcha, because that's the greatest feeling that a person has, is gladness, joy, and contentment, and so on. And he says, therefore, if somebody starts something, you should finish it. If you didn't finish it, then it's no good, because you're not going to get that sense of shlemus. And he says that same thing, a mitzvah is a spiritual matter, so it can't be divided. Mitzvah doesn't lend to something which is spiritual, something which is heavenly, which is ruchni, can't be split. It's an all-or-nothing package. Okay, that's the Maharal. He concludes, l'ficha kasher hischa b'mitzvah, omer lo gemor ha-mitzvah. So, Is there any actual source, though? You know, if we think about it for a moment, we've seen so far is that if a person starts a mitzvah and doesn't finish it, so then somebody, and the other person, the other person gets credit. But where do we see exactly what the Maharal just said at the end of 33 in the Sivas Olam? He says, "Lefichach kasher hisil hamitzvah omrim lo gemor hamitzvah." We tell him finish the mitzvah. Where do you see that? I mean, yes, we see that if someone else finishes, that other person gets credit. On the other hand, we also saw that there still is value to starting a mitzvah if you can't finish it. So where exactly do we see a precise mucker? It's not really so clear. Okay, from the story of Yosef and our Sedrin song, the bones of Yosef that Moshe Rabbeinu took, all we really see, based on the pasuk in the end of Yehoshua, is if you start a mitzvah and someone else finishes it, so then the other person gets credit, not you. All right, by extension, that means if you start a mitzvah, you should want to finish yourself. Do we have any specific mucker for that? That phrase, maschil mitzvah omlo gemor, which the Maharal quotes there, where does that come from exactly? So again, it's not as clear as we would like, and to my knowledge, there's no direct citation of such a phrase in the Bavli. There is a gemara chulin, chav tesam alav, it's also in Yuma, parallel gemara. The gemara there talks about if somebody, in terms of the avoda of the karbanos, someone shechts the animal, another person does the completes the shechita and so on. So, talking not so much about credit, but rather I want to look at the words of the Gemara. Look at Chulin Chav Tesmer Aleph 34. Lafisha Shanin, it's a more new one. Hey, Violo is a Tamid. That's one of Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol did all the avoda, including the regular avoda, not just the avoda of Yom Kippur. And Hey, Violo is a Tamid. Kirtso, if he, you know, began the shechita process, but Umeirak, Acher shchitasol yodim, then somebody else completed it. Okay, that's okay. Yachol omerik a puzzle. The question is that puzzle again. I'm not interested in the detail, but the idea. Look at the word umerik. Second Rashi in 35. Kohen acher shchita, different kohen finished the shchita. Okay, so some discussion whether that works or not. That's the topic of that Gemara, which is not our problem right now. Rather, focus on the word merak, which means completed. Someone else, this Kohen Gadol started, and as Rashi says, 35, Umeirak Kohen Acher Shchita, a different person completed the Shchita. Next Rashi, Yadol Bishvilo, for him. Okay, fine. Tosa is there in Chulin, this is what's relevant to us, says that the word Meirak means completed. Chulin Chav Tesman Aleph, 36. Umeirak Acher Shchita Sol Yadol, Meirak Lashon Gomar. He finished it. Okay. Kedamrina B'Medrash, Misha hisho b'mitzvah, omer lo merok. Tosin chul chavtesma al-dirmas umerok quotes a medrash, okay, that says this expression, our expression, Misha hisho b'mitzvah, omer lo merok. Now, it doesn't say omer lo gemor, but that's exactly the point. Tosin is trying to show that the word merok means gemor, and that's what fits into that gemor there. Again, I'm not that interested in the shchita issue right now. But what Tosin points out is there's a medrash somewhere that has that expression. Not Misha Hisla Mitzvah Omer Lo Gemor, but Misha Hisla Omer Mitzvah Omer Lo Merok, which means, says Tosfos, the same thing. It means complete it, finish it. Okay? Where is this Medrash? On the side of the page, where they send you, it's not the Medrash, but it's Yerushalmi. In Rosh Hashanah, Parak Aleph, Alach Ches, 37, Tanar B'chia Ba'ado, Zeh, Seder, Tomer, Avodos, Mitzvah, Keno, Ben Mechol, Ben Meshabbos, and so on. This whole same discussion, okay? But not about this topic, rather about something to do with the Karban Omer. Karban Omer is the carbon that's brought on the second day of Pesach, which consisted of an omer's worth of barley, among other things. Omer is a measurement, and that was brought on the second day of Pesach, and you can even cut the, even if it's Shabbos, you have to cut the omer, the barley, it's on a special din. And that's what the Gemara there in Rosh Hashanah is spoken about, Perek Aleph Halacha Ches, and it says, V'hayu mehavavin osa, they would keep it hot, even on Shabbos, or with fire, k'dei l'kayim bo mitzvos kol divrei meir. We also see Omer Mikavan Shishlo Mitzvah Omer Lo Merok. Okay, there's the expression. Again, I'm not interested in the Korban Omer issue now, but rather in this expression. Look at the end of 37. We also see Omer Mikavan Shishlo Mitzvah Omer Lo Merok. Okay, that the person who started the mitzvah, even on Shabbos, you can complete the thing on Shabbos. Machlokas, okay, exactly how it would work on Shabbos, but the bottom line is it means Gemara, it means finish. You look in the Korban Eidah, the Premosha, and so on. Okay, that's how they explained it over there. Apparently, we were allowed to even the keeping it hot was allowed on Shabbos. Anyway, again, I don't want to go into all the details. I don't have the time, but it means bottom line. The word Merok means Gemor. So there, we do have that expression Riosi Omer, end of 37, Mekeven Shehislu B'mitzah, Omer Lo Marok. Okay, so one person starts a mitzvah, let him finish it. Similarly, there is a discussion in another Yerushalmi, which for whatever reason Tosafot does not send us to, but it exists, Yerushalmi and Psachim. The Mishnah and Psachim, Parak Yud Mishnah Vav, said regarding Hallel on Pesach night. You know, we split the Hallel into two on Pesach night at the Seder, right? We say the first two paragraphs of Hallel before the meal, and then after benching, we finish Hallel, right? The regular Pesach Seder. So it's actually machlokas, how much of the Hallel do you say at the beginning, right? Before the meal, you know, at the end of Magid, before the meal. So the Mishnah Psachim says, Parak Yud Mishnah Vav, Ad Hechon Omer Beshama Ad Ema Bonim Smecha, just the first paragraph. That's all we say before the meal. And the rest, starting with B'tzei Shuel, is after. Beisela says, no, Beisela, till the end of B'tzei Shuel, which is where we paskin, as we know. Okay, now, Yushalmi, there in Psalm Parakir, asks, Omer lehen beishama ki yotzi som mitzrayim, shum maski yotzis mitzrayim. They haven't gotten out yet, right? In Magid, we're still talking about the process of yotzis mitzrayim. Okay? When are you saying the Magid? Before midnight, right? Before the 15th of Nisan, you're supposed to say Hallel before midnight, but certainly saying Magid before midnight, you want to get to the Afikam before midnight. They haven't gotten out of Mitzrayim yet, right? So Beishamai says, why mention Mitzrayim? So now save it for later. Save it for Hallel. Save it for the after the benching. So Amal Hem Beisil, 1 second. So in the next morning, they didn't go out either, because the Pasuk says, that they came out, they came out in the middle of the day. Okay, they didn't come out till the next morning. So therefore, Beis Hillel says it's okay. And look at the word they use at the end of 41. Elamikavan shehischa mitzah omel amarok, same expression. You started the mitzah, finish it. You're talking about, you know, the geula, so finish it. Talk about Yetzias Mitzrayim too. All right, so that's another makor. Now, do we have any halachic ramifications of this? Do we find, is it true? You tell a person once you start a mitzvah, finish it. So it's interesting. This does come up in a couple of places. There's a fascinating kolbo, so in Samechei, which we try to follow, at least in many places, 44. V'gam yesh mekomos, shenogu shemisha mispalel bashmores, yispalel emesh aris, v'gam mispalel baboker shachris. Talking here about slichas in the days before Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. The kolbo quotes, and the Ramo brings it in the Shulchan Aruch. Okay, or Chaim Siman Tov Kuf Pei Aleph Sif Aleph 45. Ramo writes, "Yesh Mekomos Noagus Noagim Shemispalo Slichas Mispalo Kol Hayom." Quotes this Kolbo: whoever is the chazan for Slichas should be the chazan for the other tefillas that particular day. Whoever davens for the Yomid Slichas to daven for the Yomid Shachris and Mincha, and according to the Kolbo Ibn Meir the night before that discussion, the Achron and the Magen Avraham Sif Katan Zion. So it's called Yom Afilu Arvis before. You know why? Shamaschel b'mitzah omelo gemor. Okay? You're starting a mitzvah. You're the chazan for slichas. Let's forget about the marv before for now. You're the chazan for slichas, and you'll be the chazan the rest of the day. You started a mitzvah, finish it. Okay? And he writes, the Magen Avraham does, in Siman Tov Kuf Pei Aleph, Sirkot and Zion, 45, 46, the Magen Avraham writes, nearly the mitam zeh, who called him la'ovel. Even he gets, he's a chiyuv. The guy who led slichas is a chiyuv before an ovel, or a mall, or whatever, a yard site. When his yard doesn't matter, okay. So Magen Avraham says apparently it's a real din. Since he started the mitzvah by serving as a chazan for slichas, he should be the baal shachris too, and the baal mincha. He takes precedence even though someone is an ovel, someone's yard site. That's how Magen Avraham paskins. He says there's a little raya here from Siman Kuf Ayin Dalad. He doesn't quote those Yerushalmis that we just saw, neither the Yerushalmi in Rosh Hashanah, nor the Yerushalmi in Pesachim, which did have that expression, Hamaschel b'mitzah omel omerok. He didn't quote that, but he quotes a different concept, the Shulchan Aruch Siman Kuf Ayin Dalet, for which I'll give you the background. There's a Mishnah in Brochus. Mem Beis Mem Aleph, the Mishnah starts, but the part in the Mishnah we're interested in is a Mem Beis Mem Beis, 47. Bolehem Yayin B'toch HaMozum. They bring wine out during the meal. Okay, they bring a few bottles of wine out, nice dinner, people going out to the restaurant, whatever, they have wine during the meal. So, kol echad ve'echad mevarach la'atzman. Everybody who has a glass of wine makes his own baruch pri hagafen, not included in the washing, for other reasons. But anyway, let them all, each person makes his own bracha. But achar hamozim, but wine brought out after the meal, as sort of almost a dessert. Echad mevarach l'kulam. One person says a bracha and everyone else listens. Why? As Rashi the Gemara explained, not our issue. But what is interesting is the hu omer al hamugmar. That person who made the bracha and the wine at the end of the meal, and the understanding is that he made a bracha on the wine. Maybe he, according to some, he's talking about the, he led the benching and made the bracha on the wine, then the benching. Okay. If someone just posted, according to Magen Avraham, should the same person count three for the call every night? Good question. Okay. They're very, very strange, right? I'll give you another question. We'll come back to it in a second. Okay. Before we get back to this Gemara. I mean, do we say that the person who daven shachas for the yom should necessarily be the same person daven mincha? We don't say that either. So we have to understand this a little better. But that right now, that is what the Gemara says. We'll see. Okay, the Gemara doesn't mention about Tzir, but it mentions it here. Okay, that's not a Gemara, it's a Kobo, and I'm going to run Paskins that way. Anyway, but the Mugmar was like a spice, a fragrance that they would use to smoke something or inhale something after a meal. Many people, when people used to smoke, and before my time, when people used to smoke, if a cigarette at the end of a meal was a very common thing. No, it was a very... it was considered to good for the appetite, good for the digestion or whatever, that people would smoke at the end of a meal. So in the days of the Gemara also, after the meal, they didn't smoke cigarettes. They had something called mugmar. They put some incense over fire and they inhaled it, whatever, and there's a bracha on mugmar. Okay, and the person who made the bracha on the wine should be the one to make the bracha on the mugmar, even though the mugmar is after the meal. Rashi says there in 48, okay, la'achar suda, there in brachas, membeis and beis, la'achar brachas amazon, she'eno mitzarche suda. That is not really part of the meal. The meal's over. Okay. The guy started to make the later brachas, right? The bracha on the wine, you should finish it. That's how Tosus also there. And brachas memeis on divmas afal p 49. The wine is the meal's over. Now the mugmar comes. Nevertheless, and then again, already normal is differently, but that's a sugya over there. So what's interesting is the Gemara in Brachas, okay, says on Mem Gimel and Aleph in the continuation of that sugya, 15. Even if there's someone else who deserves a covet or something like that, more chashuv a person doesn't matter. Okay, it doesn't matter. And look at Rashi says there in 51, Brachas Mem Gimel and Aleph Michal, 51. Rafilo hachi came with the ischel bechada of it leidach. You started the one, the bracha on the wine. Make the bracha on the spice, the fragrance also. Okay, and the Bartanur, as I said, explains the Mishnah in Brachos Perikvah Mishnah Vav 52. Who Amar Amugmar Hamavarach Birchas Hamazon? Who Mavarach Amugmar? It's talking about the guy, like I said before, who led Birchas Hamazon, which was done over a coast. He should make what's the bracha? Bari Atzei Besamim. It was spices, fragrance. Atzei Besamim. Okay, and look what he says. Va'afagav Dikod Dikminei Afilochi Kevan Yisum Bechad Avil Ida. And the Rambam paskins this way. Hilchos Brachos Perikzana Lachiyud Gimel. They washed the Maimar Cholim and they benched. And they brought out this fragrance. Okay, the Ravid learns differently. Again, mentions the Rabbeinu Yonah learns it differently. The Ravid learns it differently. But we'll stick with the Rambam now. And now look what the Magen Avraham there says from Kufay and Dalet. It's not clear in the Shulchan Aruch. The Magen Avraham, it's in Kufay and Dalet. Sikot in Yud Zion 54, right? The name of the tour. Cost of a tour. Also, Shabir Chalayayin, Shalach HaMazon, Mavarach HaMugmar, Shemavi and Achar Asuda, Afal Pisha Regin, Lahavi HaMugmar, Achar Birchas HaMazon, Komokum, Biu, Kodi Birchas HaMazon, Zachoba, also Shabir Chalayayin, Afal Gavdika, Adi Vinei, Kevin, Shehizchum, Baruch HaZarchonos, Gomen, like Rashi, and so on. Okay, anyway, the Magen Avraham by us, when he talks about the Slichas, sends you to this Magen Avraham, right? The same idea, the person who started should finish it. Okay, it's a little bit unusual, but that's how I want to go through a little bit. We have to read the whole thing inside. We've seen some of it already. In 55, is a tshuva, Shaul's tshuva is Emek Halacha. That's a Yeshua Baumo, who was a rav in Europe. Tshuva is Emek Halacha, Chelek Beis, Simon Mem Beis, related somehow to Dr. Lim, Aleva Shalom from YU. That was some sort of related to the Baumo family. Anyway, so the tshuva is Emek Halacha, Chelek Beis, Simon Mem Beis. He says, we're not makbi like this, Magen Avraham. 55. We don't tend to follow that the person who led the Yom Adam of the Yom of the Slichas should lead the other Tfilas a day. He quotes the Matei Ephraim like that, and so on. But why not? He says, I mean, it's a Beferish Ramo. Okay. And it's a kobo and there's no argument. So why don't we follow it? So he said, because it seems to be, the source seems to be the third line of 55, Mishum Dam Mascha B'mitzah Omlo Gemor. It must be that's the source. Whoever starts the mitzvah should finish it. But says the Emek Halacha, V'hineim ki loshon zem murgo b'fikol. Everybody's heard this expression. Most people know this expression, Mascha B'mitzah Omlo Gemor. But says the Emek Halacha, Aval Anochi Yagati, I searched around, V'lo Matzotzi loshon zem b'shum mokom. I mean, everybody's heard this phrase, okay, Mascha B'mitzah Omlo Gemor. But I searched around, I never found anywhere. I mean, any original source, any primary source, okay? And he says, he quotes Soti of Gimel and Beis, the Gemara we started with Yosef. There it says just that someone starts a mitzvah and someone else finishes it, the credit goes to the person who finishes it. Okay. All right. But it doesn't say there, Omulo Gemor, tell you if it doesn't say it there. Can infer it, but it doesn't say it. So he quotes that Tosin Chulam, that's where I got it from, okay, who quotes Yerushalmi. But he says the first Yerushalmi doesn't really work either. Because there it's talking about, remember, about the Omer with Shabbos. It just says, since you started the mitzvah, you can finish it even on Shabbos. That's not a general rule on Maschil Mitzvah Omer Gemor. That's what the Emek Halacha Tain is. Okay? That he says, Abel Sham, Eina Kavona Demisha Hissa Ola Gomer, Rak Keva Daschola Dochso Shabbos, Gama Gemar Dochso Shabbos. That's just teaching that since the beginning of the process, the cutting of the Omer, was Docha Shabbos, so this heating it up also Docha Shabbos. It's not really telling us there that Gemara Rosh Hashanah and Yerushalmi, it's not really telling us that a person who starts a mitzvah should finish it. That's talking about since the beginning of the process was Docha Shabbos, the rest of the process Docha Shabbos also. Then he says, well, the best place seems to be the other Yerushalmi in Psochim, okay? There maybe it's a good mocker. And, but again, it doesn't go so far as the Magen Avraham wants to say that that's such an important rule. It's even Docha and Ovel, or yard site. He wonders what it's about. So he thinks the real Makar is this Gemara Brachas, Daf Mem Beis, where it says the guy who led the Brach on the wine for the benching, Mavarach Ala Mugmar, and so on. And that's what he thinks is the best Makar. Okay, just to point one other thing out on this issue of Slichas, and we'll see quickly a couple of other sources quickly. The Mishnah Berurah, by the way, brings Lalach as well. It's in Tav Kuf Payalos. You've caught in Yud Dalet 56. Kol Hayom means a guy who led the Slichas to be the Chazan for the rest of the day, Shachris and Mincha. And he writes, Shemas Mitzah, Omlo Gemor. Okay, quote the same in Makor. Then he discussed about Marib before. Okay, I just want to point out that Rav Soloveitchik Aruch had a totally different take. And I'll answer your question, Josh. It's not a question, because he asked, it's very, very strange. I mean, again, we don't say that the person who daven for the Yom Shachris should also daven for the Yom Mincha. Why not say I'm asking it's Omer Gemor? Well, you gave the example of Sira. The other example, we don't say it. So the Rav said that din by Slichas is something totally different. Okay? And that is that Slichas is really, in effect, and he brought Raya to this not for now, an introduction to davening. Slichas is basically an introduction to the Tfilos of the day. It's an addendum to the Tfilos of the day. It's not, see, Shachris and Mincha aren't really related. Shachris one mitzvah, Mincha is a different mitzvah. There's no rule that whoever daven for Yom Shachris has to daven for Yom Mincha because, no, he says, but Slichas is a prelude. It enhances our daily tefillahs. In fact, the Rav went so far as to suggest that if someone would just say Slichas and wouldn't daven Shachris and Mincha that day, you wouldn't get credit for Slichas either. Because Slichas is just an introduction. It's an opening the door for more intense tefillahs. So therefore, it's all one package there. Dafka by Slichas, we say the person who started should continue and daven for the Yom. But it's not unrelated. It's all the same mitzvah. Question about Sfira. Okay, it's also all the same mitzvah. That's a further question. It's every day a different mitzvah. But that's how the Rav interprets it. It's not just Hamaschim mitzvah, Omla Gemorah. It's not enough because, you know, it doesn't seem to work in other areas. It's here, Dafka with Slichas is an introduction to davening, that you have this special concept. Okay. Another area we see this din is also Rosh Yom Kippur, but specifically Rosh Hashanah, by Hilchos Shofar, 57. The Rambam writes Hilchos Shofar, Parag Gimel Halacha Yud Aleph, 57. Zeh shetokea kishen yoshin. We know we blow shofar, what's called tkiyas demiyushin, when people sitting, we stand anyway. That's talking about before Musaf, you know, right at the end, after laning. Okay, we say that was called the first 30 sounds, tkiyas demiyushin. Okay, so the Rambam says the person who blew shofar by Tkiyas Demiyushin should also be the one to blow in the Shemoneh Esrei. Okay, good. So that's, and that's what's the talk and so on. Or Ches Chaim, Chayach Alev Dintki Shofar Os Yud Vavar, Tazayim, 58. Quotes this Rambam also, okay, that it's proper, and whoever was the Baal Tokeya for the Tkiyas Demiyushav, the so-called seated Tkiyas, the Tkiyas before Musaf, should also be the one to blow Shofar during the Chazor Sashans as well. Okay, now he said, you're not Ma'akev, okay, it doesn't have to be. If a person can't do it, it doesn't happen. Okay, but what's the reason behind it? Why is it preferable to be the same Baal Tokeya? Or Ches Chaim writes, last line of 58, okay, Lefi She'ein, Loma She'ein, Lahavim Ben HaMitzvah. So you don't take the mitzvah away from that Baal Tokeya. Kevon Shehischa Ba Kedamina Masla Mitzvah, Omer LaGemara. He started the mitzvah Tkiyas Shofar, he should finish it. And the Ramor brings us in the Dark of Moshe HaKotzer, or Chaim Sim Tov Kuf Pei Hei. So Cotton Bezi quotes his Rambam. Same thing, Al Derech HaMaskel B'mitzah Omer Gemor. Quotes Or Ches Chaim. And the Ramor brings in, Shulchan Aruch too. Sim Tov Kuf Pei Hei, Sim Dalet, 60. Vim Ein HaShliach Tzibu Tokeyam Yushub. Rav Sha'osa Tokey Yisko Gam Ken Al Seder Brachas. Unless it was the Chazan who's going to have to see the say the tefillas, it was Baal Peh, and it wouldn't be able to also be the same person. But the shofar, again, a technical question, not really looking at today, because we'll have Machzorim. But anyway, same idea, let the person finish and do the mitzvah himself, okay? And that's what Mishnah Berurah says, all right? And from Tavkuf Pehes, caught in Yud Zayin, 61, some people split up the tekiyas, okay? Some people stick it up, split up even further, different Baal Tokey from Malchus, different Baal Tokey from Zichron, shofar, okay, everybody, you know, call yourself Kedoshim, Hem, Chavim, Mitzvahs, but preferably, like the Aruch HaShulchan writes, it's the Chesef, Sim, Tav, Kuf, Pei, 62, V'nochon, Shemisha, Toka, Mikodem, Yiska, Gamba, Musaf, Namas, Mitzvah, Omla, Gamor, unless, Emosha, Koshal, I can't do it. Okay, that's something else. Same thing with Shulchan, the Mechaber didn't mention it, Sim, Tav, Kuf, Pei, Hei, but a Tav, Kuf, Tzadi, Bei, does mention, Tav, Kuf, Tzadi, Bei, he does mention, Sim, Dalad, 63, Zesh, Tokeh, Kishen, Yoshin, Tokeh, Al, Seder, Brochas. And Ramo says, again, it's not Ma'akev, you have no choice, but it's proper to do that. And again, the Mogen Avram, it's in the Tav Kuf Tzadi Beis, you've got in Zion 64, send us back again to Simur Kuf Ayin Dala with the Brocha on the fragrance and so on. And that's the Machat Shekel explains there, and you've got in Zion. Maschel Mitzah, Omer Gemor, Shvo Din HaChas. The same idea over here, let the person finish the Mitzah. And again, the Mishnah Berurah writes, so you caught in Tezvav of Simon Tovkov Tzari Bey, 66, Namasro Mitzah Omlo Gemor. Once again, Rav Soloveitchik had a different or an added comment as to why the same Baal Tokeya, you know, should be the one who blew the shofar, in the Tekiyas Demusha, should blow in the Tekiyas Demumad. He had this a different an added point. He says, because the Tekiyas Demusha and the Tekiyas Demumad are integrally related. It's one activity. Gemor Rosh Hashanah, Tezayim and Aleph, starts, but goes over to Tezayim Beis. Omer Yitzchak, Lama Token Rosh Hashanah. Why did he blow Shofar on Rosh Hashanah? The Gemara asks. So the Gemara says, Lama Token, what do you mean? Rachman Amatiko, it's a mitzvah in the Torah. What do you mean? Why did he blow? Ella, Lama Maria, why did he blow Trua? Maria and Rachman Amar Zichon Trua. You have to blow Trua too. Ella, Lama Token Rim Shin Yoshin. And now in Tezayim Beis, the Token Rim Shin Omdin. Why do we blow Shofar both when we sit down before Musaf and during Musaf? So the famous answer, Kadela Arve Vasota, whatever that means. Right, to show the Sutton how much we love mitzvahs. That's what Rashi says, Kedela Arvev, right, to show the Sutton we love the mitzvahs so much, we're going to blow many, many times. Okay, so the Rambam, Hilchos Shofar, Paragimel Achiyud, writes a little different than we do. He writes in 69, HaMinag HaPashim said it's Tekiyas Hashanah B'Tzibur Kachu. Here's the widespread minig when it comes to Tekiyas Shofar Rosh Hashanah. Achar Shekorim HaTorah, after you lain, U'machzir in HaSefer L'Mkom, you put the Torah away, then everybody sits down, we blow shofar and so on and so forth. And then we daven musaf. That's not what we do, Rabbosar. Remember, we blow shofar before putting the Torah away. Right after the haftarah, we have to kiss shofar. The Rambam says, no, put the Torah away, and then you can go right into musaf. The Rav explained because the Rambam holds, and he thinks that's correct, that the kiss of musaf have to be juxtaposed to the kiss before. Do everything, get everything out of the way. Probably wouldn't say hinan either. Right into the Shemoneh Esrei. Okay? Right into the Shemoneh Esrei, put the Torah away before Tekiyas Shofar. So therefore, the Rav said, that's why we want to have the same Baal Tokeya, that there should be a continuum. It's one unit. All right. But again, according to most others, it's another proof of this concept of Maslo Mitzvah, Omlo Gemor. One other place we see it, and that will finish up, in Hilchos Chanukah. The Shulchan Aruch rules in Siman Tov Reish Ayin Aleph, Siv Zayin 70. It says, "Uvarachem Reisach Knesses." We light candles in shul as well, even though the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah is the mitzvah on the household. Right? You should light Chanukah candles in your household, but we make the brocha in shul as well. Okay, there are more ads. V'ein Adam Yotzei V'Ner Shul Beisach. You're not Yotzei. The Chiyuv and the Beisach. Even the person who lit it, the Chazan or the Rabbi, whoever lit it, is not Yotzei Chanukah Ner Chanukah in shul. And with Torah Lachs Adlik Beisach, you have to do it again in your house. Then he writes, "For no Adlik Beisach Knesses B'Michal and Barav." In shul, the minig is to light between Mincha and Barav. And then many people on Erev Shabbos light before Mincha because they're afraid they're going to run out of time. It's always tight. You know, Erev Shabbos is always one of the shortest Shabbos of the year. As it turns out, it's always tight. Okay. And he writes, and Yerayim Rotsu Lahach, Lemayer, Lispalel, if you want to hurry, better get out Mincha, La'achar Shabir Chashat, after the Chazan made the Brocha, the Hidlik Echad Mehem, let him light one of them. And then start davening for the Amid. Then the Gabbai, someone else can light the rest. Okay. That's what Shulchan Aruch says. The Mogen Avraham writes over there in Siman Tov Reish Ayin Aleph, Sukkot and Aleph. Mogen Avraham writes, Avol Bebeso, Tzorech Hu Lahadlik Kulam. Rushed Erev Shabbos, so let the Chazan who made the Brocha light one candle, and then someone else can light the rest while they start davening. Maybe someone davened earlier, whatever. But at home, you have to light the whole thing yourself. Okay. However, he quotes the Marshal, who says, no, even in your house, someone else can do it also. It's not a problem. And he quotes that same Gemara about one person can do the Shechita and the other person completed it. It was Gemara we saw earlier in Chul. Okay. The Mishnah Berurah, Sukkot and Memtes writes, 72, the bracha chal echad shehidlik, the he eker, right? The bracha was made by the person lighting it, so he should light the whole thing. The rest are hidur mitzvah ba'alma. And that's why, since the rest are not as important, really the one light, that's the basic mitzvah, there is shebeso. So therefore, someone else can finish it. And that's the Mishnah Berurah. So hu adin bebeso, even in your house, kashmiz damelo eze dover nochutz lachas hilik echamem. Let's say it's some Russian house, so you lit one candle, and now you've got an important phone call, something, an emergency. So let one of the kids or someone else finish lighting, you go take care of your thing. It's okay, because you did the basic mitzvah yourself, and the rest are hidur. But Rabbi Yaakov Emden writes in the Moruk Tziyam, with this will finish, in Siman Tov Reish Ayin Aleph. Okay? He quotes the Mogen Avraham in the Machlokas, and he says, I don't think it's the same as Shechita and so on. It's not a good example, because that's only Mitzvah and Mubchar. Anyway, he says, by Ner Chanukah, look at the second paragraph. Okay, by Ner Chanukah, he says, you know, I would agree that if you lit the candle, but it wasn't such a good lighting, the fire didn't catch so well, so then somebody else can, you know, play with the wick or whatever, play with the thing and make it a stronger. That's okay. Because the bottom line, you did the mitzvah. Okay? And that's not really part of the mitzvah. It's just making it better. However, Aval, look at the last line there at 73 in the first page. Aval shar ha-neiros lahad likam mitchiloso de'acher. That's not mahadrin. I mean, it's okay. But don't you want the whole reason you're lighting extra candles to get the credit for the mahadrin and mahadrin? So you're not going to light it. Someone else is going to finish. You didn't do the mahadrin and mahadrin. Someone else did it. Okay? And therefore, you're leaving out part of the mitzvah. Yeah, it's okay because you did the basic mitzvah, like the Mishnah Berurah said. The Rakhendan writes, yeah, but you're not getting the mahadrin. And therefore, avalahaniach ligmai de acher in the back page, hadlokas ner shakvar hislebehem, machmas revorach nochas varashus. Yeah, that's an emergency, but stam something you want to do. Okay, bal nefesh yochus la'atzmo. A person should be machmer himself. You want to be by the mahadrin, okay? And look what he ends. Hamaslam omba omerlo gemor. The whole thing. You want to finish a mitzvah. You started the mitzvah. You should finish it. Even the hidur mitzvah lokas ner chanukah. Anyway, that's some of the places where this unusual principle, hamaslam mitzvah omerlo gemor, that we saw. The Zayim Kalocha point that it's not so pushy even what the mocker is. We have a couple of sources for it. Yeah, it's better always to do an entire mitzvah like we saw from the Maharal. But it's applied in some places and not so much in other places. And we have to try and figure out. That's what Soloveitchik suggests in some places where it applied because the things are more closely related. And you have to see other cases why they would not apply. But in general, we do say that a person who starts a mitzvah should try to be the one to finish the mitzvah himself. Okay, we'll stop over here.